Kevin?
Yes.
First of all, I want to say you're welcome, because I got several responses from our fans after last week's episode, worried about your state of mind and the depression you seem to be in.
You mean the 4 heart attacks I had?
So, yes, last week, Thursday might have been one of the... No, I'm going to say it, Kevin. That was the craziest game in the history of Chiefs Raiders.
Definitely. Okay, to set the stage on my end, I know you're probably watching it comfortably at home. I was in L.A. at the Crown Plaza. Norman and I were hosting our Highlander Blood of Kings meetup, which was the night before the Highlander convention that we were going to be at. And, of course, planning this way ahead, you know, it's like we didn't really have a choice. This is something we wanted to do, and it was really good for us and for the network to support all the fans and have it going on there the Thursday night before. It gave a destination for all fans and also some of the celebrities that were going to be at the convention to meet up and just kind of relax a little bit before the festivities of the weekend begin. But, of course, that was the night of the Raiders-Chiefs game. And so I asked the bar where we had the little restaurant in the area. It was called the Tap Room, but we nicknamed it Joe's after the TV series location, Highlander TV series location. I said, can you please put the Raider game on there? Oh, yeah, we'll put it up right over here. So I had it going on all night. But I couldn't pay attention to it as much as I wanted to because we had to pay attention to the people that were there. But I started kind of keeping an eye on the score. I think we went up a little bit and then we went down. And so it was like, it was pretty much a good game all the way through. So I was wondering though, because I couldn't put my full attention to it, I was wondering if you could kind of describe how it was going up until the final seconds there.
Okay. Well, first of all, and Kevin, I know you'll agree with this, no matter what the records are, when you have Chiefs Raiders, everything gets thrown out the window.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's just, and this game, it started off pretty quick. Raiders actually scored on a long touchdown, which a lot of people saw as a little controversial because a lot of people thought Amari Cooper had pushed off. It was questionable either way. I'll go with that. But the Raiders, Amari Cooper showed up, and you're welcome for that, by the way, because I know at the end of last week's episode, I took a little shot at Amari as we closed out. And obviously, yes, I gave him some inspiration. But the Raiders took a quick lead. Chiefs came back. Raiders take a quick lead. Chiefs come back. Then the Chiefs kind of pulled out and took a, I think it was about a 20, probably about a 27-17 lead. And then things just got wacky. Chiefs had to punt a couple of times. They went for it on a fourth down and didn't make it. And then Derek Carr just kind of kicked it into another level, which we hadn't really seen from him at all this season. Made some amazing throws, culminating with a amazing throw to Jared Cook, who made a sensational catch that they initially ruled a touchdown, but replay very much showed that his butt landed about 2 feet before the end, the goal line.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Now, Kevin, I do want to ask this because I know you didn't get to probably see this, but you might have seen it in the highlights or what you got. One of the problems the Raiders had in that game, and it was brought up by Tony Romo big time, they had 7 or 8 plays where they had 2 wide receivers in exactly the same spot, and it was like, almost like they were defending each other.
I noticed that there's a one play they were both going up for the ball and no one caught it.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, what the hell is going on here?
But they had like 3 or 4 plays like that throughout the game. And I was kind of, everybody was kind of like, and even on the Jared Cook catch, there was 2 receivers. It was Cook and another receiver within like 2 yards of each other.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on with that. There was a lot of traffic between the receivers. And I don't know if that was, I don't know if that's something that, you know, the offensive coach is doing to either get the Chiefs players confused or something, but I think it was confusing the Raiders players more, especially for that one kind of jump ball catch that they both went after. It's like, come on, man, who's supposed to catch it? If one of those guys would have like kind of pulled back, the other one would have caught it.
Yeah. And of course, too, a big key in this game was about halfway through the second quarter, Marshawn Lynch got ejected from this football game.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, that was not cool. He was on the sideline when Derek Carr was going down with a sack, and then the Chiefs player did kind of a cheap shot helmet to the head thing. And Marshawn got pissed and ran out there and confronted, but did the stupidest thing ever, was push a ref, which you don't do. Then he gets ejected, right? And then he goes, and then explain to me a little bit more what happened after that, because I didn't see all that going down because of the event that I was hosting.
Nobody really saw it going down until later in the game. But then he snuck into the stands and was sitting with the fans during the game.
Mm.
And then apparently, and I don't have 100% confirmation on this, he led a chant towards Chiefs players from Raiders fans after the game that wasn't really what I would call sportsmanlike.
Yeah, I guess he was upset about what happened to Carr and what happened to him, but you got to pull back on that stuff. I don't condone that.
And here's the other crazy thing. The Chiefs player who did that is Marshawn Lynch's cousin.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So, anyway, we have this amazing catch by Jared Cook. And then the next play, the Raiders look like they score a touchdown, but Michael Crabtree is called for offensive pass interference. And it's very obvious if you watch the replay.
Yeah.
He had extended both arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, we still have a little time on the clock. The Raiders play another play. Jared throws to Jared Cook, sails over his head. Chiefs win. There's a flag on the field.
Okay, now let's look at this time. The score is, hold on, if I remember, it was 27-21, right?
No. It was, I think it was 30-24.
Oh, okay. That's right. 30-24. Okay, that's right. Yeah.
It was 30-24.
So the Raiders needed a touchdown, and then they needed an extra point to win.
Which was, the extra point was adventurous in itself, because your kicker had already missed a couple of field goals earlier in the game.
I know he missed one. Was it two? I thought it was just
one. He missed two because one was blocked.
Ah, okay. Guy missed that part. Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, Chiefs look like they win. Flag on the field. Defensive holding. At this time, this was the last play of the game. No time left on the clock. However, NFL rules say a game cannot end on a defensive penalty. So the Raiders have the ball at the 1 yard line.
Okay, hold on a sec. Let me ask you, did you see the play that they first called on that?
Yeah, it was an obvious hold.
Okay, all right. Continue.
Raiders go for it again. Chiefs defend it again. Defensive pass interference.
That, if I remember, the first one definitely was pretty blatant, right?
Yeah, the first one was definitely pretty blatant. And this one, probably, I could make a stink, but I would say it was a fair call.
Okay.
So the Raiders get another chance.
This is the third time.
This is the third time, but this will be the fourth play for the game.
While there's no time on the clock.
Yeah. So... Derek Carr finally hits Michael Crabtree on a little out route, and the Raiders tie the game.
That was a nice little catch, because he kind of rolled to his knees there at the front end of the end zone on the left side there.
Yeah, no, without
that was
a doubt.
A good catch.
And your kicker does make the extra point, but he even made that a little adventurous. It was a little close to the upright.
Now I was watching it at this time, and I was just, I had like four consecutive heart attacks. Like, I'm like, oh, we're losing. What? Defensive interference? What? And I was like, come on, DeVecchio, don't lose this.
So I'm watching this game with my roommate, who, you know, Kevin is a huge Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Hold on real
quick. I just want to mention DeVecchio. Okay. He was the reason why we lost the previous week, because he missed the extra point, which turned a game-tying field goal into a game-winning field goal by the Chargers. Anyway, continue.
So anyway, I look over at my roommate at the end, because who, Kevin, you happen to know, is also a huge Raiders fan. So the trash talk was going on strong at my place during the game. But he looks over at me and we kind of just both nod our heads and go, neither one of us have any right to brag at the end of this game. Because at the end of the day, both of our defenses gave up over 500 total yards.
Oh my God.
And the way, and that crazy ending where Kansas City just pretty much said, here, Raiders, we're going to keep giving you opportunities until you win the football game.
It took us four tries, but we made it.
It was definitely a season saving game for your Raiders. But I will say this, and it's a concern for my team as well. Both of our defenses are looking really, really shaky all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't know if your defense I still have faith in. Maybe it was just something with the Raiders, and you have to kind of throw all statistics out of the window. But I think the Raiders have a bigger worry than you guys do.
Well, I think my other concern as far as the Chiefs go is I think Pittsburgh played a style of defense that figured out these Andy Reid tricks. Mm-hmm. By going to a zone instead of a man-to-man. Because the one time the Raiders went man-to-man, Tyreek Hill burned them severely.
I remember that one. That one hurt.
But that whenever you guys played zone, it really took away a lot of our deep passing. So I'm kind of hoping Andy Reid, with this kind of mini bye week, will make some adjustments. And for the Chiefs thing, too, we've been playing most of the season with two-thirds of our starting offensive line injured. And a bunch of, at least two of them should be coming back this week, so that will be a big help as well. But it was a big win for your Raiders.
Yeah, too, that was big. I'm hoping that the team will start to gel a little bit more, because otherwise, you know, we would have lost, what was it, four in a row or five in a row? It was just crazy.
Yeah,
and we need to turn things around here. So I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the rest of this previous week seven, let's get into a little business. Of course, this is the Fandom Podcast Network, and this is the End Zone. And, of course, you can listen to all of our shows first and foremost on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app to find all of our shows and stream them through your mobile devices. Of course, you can also find us at Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, and if you're using an Android phone, you can also find us on the Google Play app. Again, just look under Fandom Podcast Network. Visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network, and you can find us on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on the social media sites?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
So, Kevin, you were at the convention, so you didn't really get to see a lot of this week's happenings in week seven. So I'll try to kind of do my Chris Berman 2-minute drill and give you some
awesome
quick rundown of things here. Dallas Cowboys completely destroyed the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh God. I saw that.
The supposedly suspended Ezekiel Elliott has an absolutely huge day with 140 plus yards rushing and a 75 yard touchdown off of a screen pass.
Wow.
The Seattle Seahawks beat the New York Giants in kind of a stinker of a game, to be honest with you.
Palmer went out too and got blanked in London, right?
Yeah. The Los Angeles Rams destroyed the Arizona Cardinals. And in that game, Carson Palmer broke his non-throwing arm and will be out 8 weeks. This could be the end of his career, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, that guy's getting old and tired.
Yeah. And in a more interesting game of the week, the Chicago Bears beat the Carolina Panthers in Chicago by scoring two defensive touchdowns before Carolina even got a point on the board.
Yeah, Carolina only scored 3 points, right?
Something along those lines. I think Chicago scored two defensive touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. They scored on a halfback toss. It was just crazy. Mitchell Trubisky threw the ball 7 times in that football game.
Only?
Yeah. He was 4 of 7 for the game.
Wow.
And another big game, Minnesota wins, keeping their lead in that NFC North division. You've got Green Bay falling to the New Orleans Saints, who are really playing very good football right now. And Brett Hundley did not look bad for Green Bay, but you can just tell they're getting adjusted. But Aaron Jones, the running back for Green Bay, had a huge game as well, 147 yards rushing and a touchdown.
Yeah, I think he's their new savior, but I don't know if it's enough to save the season, but I think he's the new lead back for sure.
And then Jacksonville, without Leonard Fournette, destroys Indianapolis and has, again, for the second time this season, a double-digit sack game as a team.
Yeah, their defense is crazy good, man. And Chris Ivory was able to pick up the slack. Like, Fournette wasn't around.
Yeah. Another crazy game was the Buffalo-Tampa Bay game, where everybody thought that would be a low-scoring game, and Buffalo wins on a crazy Tampa Bay fumble with 2 minutes left in the game that enables them to kick the game-winning field goal. But Jameis Winston, who had a sprained AC joint in his shoulder, threw 44 times in that game for 384 yards passing and three touchdowns.
Is he okay? Is he going to be able to continue for next week or so?
He should. That's all the reports. But still, that's just a pretty amazing performance. A wild game. The New York Jets actually had a pretty couple score lead on the Miami Dolphins, and the Miami Dolphins came back with Matt Moore in at quarterback to beat the New York Jets.
Did you say Matt Moore?
I did say Matt Moore.
God. That guy just faded off into oblivion.
And then in the dud game of the week, the Cleveland Browns lost to the Tennessee Titans in overtime, 9-6.
God, I thought if there was any game they could possibly win, I just had a feeling they could win this one at home. And nope. I'm glad I'm not a Cleveland fan.
Yeah, it was not. Also, another big game actually was the Pittsburgh Steelers beating the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, okay.
So, not a lot of crazy happenings. I mean, nothing bizarre. But
we got some news, though, right?
Yeah, and we just talked about the Cleveland Browns, and this one, Kevin, I think for any NFL fan is a heartbreaker in that Joe Thomas, the longtime Cleveland Brown offensive lineman who has never missed a snap in his NFL career, looks to be done for the season with a torn quadricep.
Oh, wow. Has he still got some more seasons left in him, or do you think this is it?
Oh, I think he's got some more seasons left in him, but I hope he gets out of Cleveland. This guy deserves a chance to play for a contending team. He's played his entire career in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, another piece of news that kind of broke, Juju Smith-Schuster has been really stepping it up for the Pittsburgh Steelers the last few weeks, Kevin. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
I've noticed that in fantasy, so yeah.
Well, it's been at the expense of Martavius Bryant. Now, we all know Martavius has had kind of a colorful career with some drug suspensions and things like that. Well, he has now asked for a trade out of Pittsburgh.
Is Roethlisberger not friends with him, or what's the deal there? Why is he not getting the ball?
I think it's just because Smith-Schuster stepped up. You've got Antonio Brown, and I think Roethlisberger kind of maybe has it out for Martavius for letting the team down the last couple of years.
I wonder where he'll end up. I wonder if the Steelers will do that.
Yeah, there's a couple teams I could think of who could use some receiver help. So that'll be interesting to see. Another piece of news: the Houston Texans are about to get a big boost to their offensive line. Their All-Pro left tackle Dwayne Brown has finally ended his holdout.
I didn't even know that about this guy.
Yeah, no, he is a legitimate All-Pro left tackle. Which, if he's in any kind of shape, Deshaun Watson's life just got a lot easier.
Well, that's good. He's not going to need much help, but I guess more help is good.
And the story that will never die, Ezekiel Elliott. He got another court date that prevented him from being suspended. It is scheduled for October 30th. The NFL wanted it moved to October 27th before next weekend, so he could not play next weekend. But instead, they were told no, that October 30th is the court date. And hopefully this will decide once and for all if Zeke Elliott is going to be able to play the season or if he's going to serve that suspension.
Oh, jeez.
So, well, before we do a little
fit. Hold on. I want to ask you, where are we at with the power rankings right now?
Well, here's the thing. We are recording this on Monday, October 23rd, because of some scheduling and things like that. So we still have the Monday night game just kicked off here with the Eagles and the Redskins, and that could have a big impact on the power rankings.
All right, we'll update that next week then.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the Eagles win, they'll probably be number one in the power rankings because they will have the best record in the league.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. Now, before we talk a little fantasy, do you want to take a look at next week's matchups real quick there, Mr. Reitzel?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so looking ahead, our Thursday night dog of a game, Miami at Baltimore. Is anybody going to even watch this, Kevin?
No, I would say probably the best Thursday night games were your Chiefs and opening night Chiefs and at New England, and then your Chiefs and my Raiders, maybe.
But we also you had that pretty fun Rams 49ers game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Even, but I'm looking at the rundown here, Kevin. I see a couple of games that kind of interest me, and of course, I'm going to go straight to Monday night, Denver at Kansas City.
Yeah.
And guys, we didn't mention it in the.
Go ahead.
I was going to say
another primetime game for your Chiefs, man.
Yeah, we're living on primetime. It's killing my sleep schedule. and that was actually, I didn't mention this in the wrap up, but LA gave us both a favor as they shut out the Denver Broncos 21-0, Kevin.
Yes, I was very appreciative of that.
Yeah. But that game is, I think, interesting to watch. You got Dallas at Washington. I think that's very interesting. And
I'm surprised Dallas right now is currently not favored.
I think it's, I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
I guess they're waiting to find out after tonight's game.
Yeah. And I think the other one that, to me, that grabs some interest is Pittsburgh at Detroit.
Yeah, definitely. My Oakland is going to Buffalo, and that worries me because Oakland has never fared well at Buffalo.
And Tyrod Taylor is playing some really good football right now.
Yep, yep. And New England, though, is hosting Chargers. Yeah, and what do we got? Atlanta at Jets. New Orleans hosting Chicago. That's interesting. I'm kind of curious about how New Orleans is for real or not. They're kind of like that team that's flying underneath the radar right now.
Yeah.
But after Atlanta's lost, things are going to get interesting.
Yeah. Now here's one though, Kevin. Why do we do this to London? Minnesota and Cleveland.
Yeah. Gosh. They need some better games there. They really, really do.
Yeah. I would agree there. Anything else that stands out for you this week, Kevin?
Coming up, really? Not really. I obviously I'm hoping that my Oakland can turn things around here. Hopefully ride high on that Thursday night win. They'll have some rest, you know, so that's a good thing. Seattle and Houston, that could be interesting. That's about it.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out that Seattle-Houston game. I think that's a very interesting matchup. That's the first real defensive test Deshaun Watson's going to face.
Well, real quick on the leaders in their conferences. Obviously, Patriots are up again. They're at 5-2 right now. Buffalo's at 4-2. AFC North, we got Pittsburgh at 5-2. Not really a test right now because next we have Ravens at 3-4. AFC South, Tennessee, and Jacksonville are tied at 4-3. And Kansas City still 5-2 with Denver Broncos at 3-3.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, before we talk fantasy, I'm going to let you pick which league do you want to start with.
Which league I'm going to start with? Well, I'm going to let you go ahead and start with the NFL league because we were playing and I got my butt kicked. And
yeah.
I didn't mention the National Conference League here. Philadelphia is at 5-1 for the East. NFC North, Vikings are 5-2, leading the Packers at 4-3. South, Saints, 5-2, with Carolina Panthers behind them at 4-3. And the NFC West, we have the Rams at 5-2 and Seahawks at 4-2. Now go ahead and have your fun.
Okay, well, this one wasn't quite as close as the Thursday night game, Kevin.
No, gosh. Oh, you killed me, bro.
Now, you have to understand, in our NFL league.
Hold on. 328 points to my 160.
Yeah, we have some crazy scoring in this, but I had Ezekiel Elliott in this league score 80 points.
Yeah, I started Cam Newton. Chris Thompson's just starting right now, but that's not going to really help me. All of my most of my starters, with the exception of Aaron Jones from the running back of Green Bay, everyone underperformed.
Now, I do want to thank you for losing faith in Derek Carr this week.
Jeez, God. Yeah.
Not that it would have made that much of a difference. But.
Yeah, I just wasn't feeling good into that. Yeah.
So that will put me at, if I overall at 5-6-1 in our NFL league.
I think that puts you on top right now, doesn't it?
And it depends. It's tied for first because there's another team, the Real McCoy, who is destroying the Oaktown Mafia right now, and they're also will be 6-1.
Okay. All right.
So now we go to our ESPN league.
I did a little better there. I'm making a little comeback there. How'd you do?
I am down right now, but however, I do have two players, big players going tonight. I am down 195 to 146, but I do, however, have Carson Wentz and Nelson Aguilar going tonight.
What's really interesting is both you and I, in the ESPN league, we actually have the East and West divisions. We actually have divisions in this.
Yeah.
And there is a four-way tie at 3-3 in the East. And I'm looking, and I didn't realize that till just now.
Yeah.
So it is like of the five teams in the East league that we're in, all four of them are 3-3.
Yeah. So it's a little crazy in the old ESPN league.
I scored the most on that one.
You were rolling this week.
Yeah, of course I had to start Alex Smith. And we also have some crazy scoring in that one as well. But I had Alvin Kamara, Chris Ivory, Aaron Jones, Dez Bryant. John Brown was the only one that pretty much was the underperformer there. I could have started some other players too that got me more. The whole thing with DeMarco Murray was pissing me off. They're like saying, oh, you know, he's probably not going to play and blah, blah, blah. And he's going to be a game time decision. You know, so I started like Kelvin Benjamin instead in the flex position, and DeMarco Murray plays and gets decent points. He got like 30 points compared to Kelvin Benjamin's 18. I'm like, God darn it.
Yeah. So how are you doing in your other leagues, Kevin?
Gosh, I'm only on the only other one I have is the Yahoo one, but I did not do well in that one. Again, they all underperformed.
Yeah, Yahoo, I won CBS, my CBS Sports League. It's not looking pretty. It's been a rough season for me in that one. My Yahoo League, what's frustrating is I'm having a great year, but I'm apparently getting the best effort from every team I play, and I'm losing by like tenths of a point every week. It is entirely frustrating.
I hate that type of scoring, man. I can't stand it. I got to start starting Evan Ingram.
Yeah, he's going to be big. But let's talk a little bit about some possible waiver wire pickups after this week. There's a few names out there that might draw some interest. Obviously, we were talking about Jay Cutler going down. So Matt Moore, those of you who might be looking for a backup QB situation, he is available. And the Dolphins do have some offensive weapons. And Moore has always been a solid backup. So he could be an option.
And then Latavius Murray.
Oh, I've been on him for a lot of people picked him up when Dalvin Cook went down. So
he's available still in quite a few leagues though.
Yeah. Now here's the frustrating one. The New England Patriot running back situation.
Oh geez, dude. Tell me about it.
Now we're looking at Rex Burkhead all of a sudden.
Yeah, I actually I dropped the other Gilligsley and I picked up Deion Lewis, and he's kind of giving me average points, but Rex, yeah.
Another name to watch out for is TJ Yeldon of Jacksonville. He split carries with Chris Ivory and had some nice numbers, and we don't know how long Fournette's going to be out. However, Jacksonville is on a bye. So
I noticed Kenny Galladay's name is making the ranks again.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. Couple receivers, though. Juju Smith-Schuster, still available in a lot of leagues, getting more and more playing time with the Steelers. And one from Kansas City, DeMarcus Robinson. He was a big target for Alex Smith.
What's your take on him?
Well, I think he's going to get more and more playing time. They've been high on him for a while. And with Conley going out with an Achilles tear against Houston, he's getting more playing time. He actually started this week opposite Tyreek Hill.
The other the name, too, is it looks like Marshawn Lynch is getting a one-game suspension, I think, here.
DeAndre Washington.
And also Jalen Richard is another one to look at for a Raiders running back here. And
yeah.
There's also Cordarrelle Patterson, too. He's been making some plays.
Yeah. A couple tight ends to watch for, A.J. Derby of the Broncos and Nick O'Leary of the Bills.
Ah, yes, because Clay's hurt.
So, a couple names to watch out for. So, Kevin, before we wrap things up, you got, as we look ahead to week 8, any surprises fantasy wise or just NFL wise you got for us?
I'm just happy that we have a 3-way tie in our NFL fantasy league right now, 3-3. Thank God. I got to make some moves and some chances. I really don't know what else to do there. I'm curious. Let me ask you, how are you feeling about your Monday night game against Denver? Is it at Denver or at Chiefs?
It's in Kansas City, so I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think Kansas City's got something to prove. The offensive line, like I said, is going to come back healthy. Andy Reid, basically, this is almost like a bye week for him, and Andy Reid coming off a bye week is undefeated, basically, in his coaching career. So, given
it's
that...
It's not a bye week. He just had some extra time.
Well, kind of a mini bye week, but a lot of time to prepare. I think Denver's a mess right now offensively, so I do like us going into that game. So right. I think my one surprise pick, though, Kevin, I think the New York Jets are going to upset the Atlanta Falcons.
You know, I think that is a high possibility. You're right. Yeah,
I think the wheels might be starting to come off in Atlanta.
Before we end tonight's show, I just would like to say, neener, neener.
Yeah, yeah. I will respond to that. We will catch you in Kansas City.
Yeah, no, we still got to go to KC.
And with that, I think it's time to call once again the long bomb. And I guess this week.
Oh, wait, hold on. What? Hold on. There was defensive pass interference. We got to play that again. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Wait, okay.
Nope, sorry, going... sorry. There's another defensive pass interference. Hold on. Wait, hold on. Oh, hold on. There's defensive penalty there. Hold on.
Okay. And G.
Here we go.
And here I was going to say, I guess this week I have to say we are going to complete this time the long bomb to Amari Cooper, who will actually catch the football this week and take us into the end zone. I just jinxed him.